speed to implementation is everything with, I think, just business in general, right? You want to do it tactfully and make sure you're not doing something that is going to put you in a bad position. But I would just say, like, if you're getting started, just do it. Like, quite frankly, like, you're not going to go wrong. You could literally pull a random list, right? Just get people calling your phone to sell you land. Just start having conversations and figure it out. Connect with other people that do land. There's plenty of people that do it. Just talk to people.
This is Eat, Sleep, Invest, the marketing podcast for real estate investors to get more deals. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Eat, Sleep, and Invest. I'm your host, Brian Driscoll, and I'm here with Jesse Beebe. What's going on, man?
What's going on, Brian? How are you?
So, Jesse, give everyone a little background. When did you get into dealing with land, and give everyone a background what you do there?
Yeah, so I'm still honestly quite new in the space. New saying, I'm still within, you know, probably coming up on my year anniversary within the past week. So I remember I sent my first direct mailer out for land February of last year. So I'm just clipping one year in the land business specifically. Before that, you know, the last year before that, I was doing a couple houses here and there. I did a couple land deals, but February of last year is when I really dug into it and focused on it.
Nice. So how many deals would you do last year, like in the last 12 months?
So in the past 12 months, I guess up to now, I'm just clipped it and I'm at 41 so far, 41 deals. So been good.
Solid.
Solid. A lot of, I'd say the bread and butter is just flips, just buying and selling on terms. I have a couple subdivides that have been cool. Working on my first entitlement deal. So chopping up a 14 acre piece of land into about 50 plus lots. So yeah, just kind of digging in and having fun with it.
And that's pretty impressive too, because I know a lot of people get into anything, flipping houses, doing land, all that stuff. And they're like, hey, I want to do a couple deals a year or one deal a month. So hitting 40 in your first 12 months, I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, no, it's been good. And honestly, it's just one of those things where when you have the system, when you have the framework of what you need to do, it's just all about treating it like a machine, right? You've got your inputs, you've got the way you process the inputs to get the output. So if you can just maximize the inputs, right, in terms of the marketing channels and the data that you use, and then find better ways to process those inputs to convert your leads more efficiently, you get better outputs. Because like the standard in vacant land is super low, right? There's a lot of coaches out there and communities that teach you to not answer the phone when people call for direct mail. Like that is the standard. They teach you not to pick up the phone and let it go to voicemail so you can see whether they're interested or not. So that's the standard. The other, you know, the gold standard within the land community is, you know, using like the Pat Lives and the call answering services and stuff like that. But even that, like if, in my opinion, like, and I guess my personal philosophy on it is like, if you can maximize like the conversion process, right? Because everyone can generate leads, but it's about converting those leads into contracts that matters. And so if you can just get competitive on that side, that's how you get things done, at least in this game. Because most people are used to calling in and never hearing back from people, or they'll get a call answered, but never get an offer. And so, yeah, the bar is low. So,
yeah. And you know what? That's a good point. Because I know when I first got into houses, I bought Ron LeGrand's course. This was way back in the day. And he said the same thing in the course, which it probably changed now. It's like, send people to voicemail and you have a voicemail saying, hey, we missed your call. Please leave your property, how much you want, things like that. And he said the same thing. It's like, let everyone go to voicemail and then determine. It's like, can't do that today.
No.
That's like old school.
I don't know. I mean, people are still, I mean, I know Ron's courses, his are old, but even the people nowadays that are teaching about this kind of stuff, that's like, there's some people that aren't, right? But yeah, there's a lot of people that are. So if you can just get competitive on that side, you know, it's just kind of a no-brainer. You'll convert more deals. There's no secret sauce to it. It's just a matter of literally just talking to people, communicating, like getting them offers, following up on the offers, continuously touching base with them, and they'll sell you their property.
You do predictive index before?
Yeah. Yep.
What's your profile?
Captain.
I was thinking that when you're talking about processes and stuff, I'm like, I bet you're a captain. So that's interesting. Okay, so you're dealing land. You did 42 deals. Now you're flipping some. So you're actually buying them, like putting cash up, buying them, then relisting them, right?
Yep, correct.
What else are you doing?
Yeah, so I'd say that's the vast majority, but especially like in different markets across the country, because most of the stuff that I'm doing, it's in the Southeast primarily, but pretty much all over the country though. Like I've got some in Oregon, Colorado, like all over the place, but in some markets, it's just a lot easier to sell land quickly in for the most amount of money if you sell it on terms. So if you sell or finance it to the end buyer. And so most of it is just a buy and sell for cash, but then I'll also sell it on I'll buy it for cash and then sell it on a payment plan. If I can recoup most of my initial investment on the down payment, and then, you know, within 1 to 2 years, recoup the rest of it from the cash flow, and then just let the rest of it come over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
That's cool. Now, are you listing those on the MLS too, even if you're selling under terms?
I'm still a one-man shop. Like, I don't have a VA. I don't have an assistant. I'm hiring an assistant soon, but I'm still a one-man shop. And so for me, it's like trying to leverage my highest and best and outsource the rest with vendors. So like with Dispo, everything's just on the MLS because I'm taking it down. I just list it with a real estate agent that is specific within that area. So like if I'm buying a property in a subdivision that has sold, you know, 50 lots within the past 12 months, when you pull all those records and you see that 15 or 25 or 30 of those properties have been sold by the same agent, okay, safe to say that agent probably knows the area, probably knows the buyers, probably can get it sold quicker. And so I treat my Dispo, it's just with real estate agents. So, you know, not all of them are amazing, but if you vet them properly and you look at their track record and days on market and all those kind of things, it's much easier.
I think that's interesting too, talking about, you're still a one-man show and you're doing volume. So I think a lot of people get into the space and they're like, they see all the sexy stuff. It's like, hey, I get to get a VA, then I got to do this, and I got to do this. And it's like, okay, they're doing all the things, but not doing deals, versus where you're at. It's like, okay, let's keep it simple. Go out and find a deal, lock it up, put it on the MLS, have someone else that's good at it, sell it. I don't need to learn Dispo right now. And you're willing to pay the commission.
That's it. And like the way I look at it, it's scalable, right? And how can I make it more scalable? It's by decreasing the amount of variables associated with the entire transaction. That's like my philosophy is like, okay, if I can decrease the number of variables within the transaction, and then the level of complexity within those variables, then just makes it so much more scalable, right? And it makes me have limited time in it as well. And so with that, like, yeah, for marketing, I make it easy. When I'm buying it, if I was doing double closes and wholesaling and like all these different things, it'd probably take a lot more time, and I would probably need more of a team because there's tons of variables going on with that, tons of things that can fall up. But since I'm buying them, it decreases significantly the amount of variables, because I don't have to worry about the end buyer backing out and all these different things happening. It's just simply I can fulfill my word because I am the one buying it. And so I know whether I'm going to do it or not. So that makes it easy on the acquisition, makes it easy on the disposition because I own it. I can put it up on with a real estate agent without any issues, without any MLSs coming after me for not having the right paperwork and all these things that I have to get signed and POAs and all that kind of jazz. So, I mean, it's been working for me now. So not to say it'll look the same in 3 or 5 years, but for now, decreased variables, just having my highest and best be doing deals has made it manageable with everything else that I have going on.
Okay, so let's talk about variables. Take me through from start to finish before the marketing even happens, like how a deal may look and like how many moving parts there are in there.
I literally go on Zillow. Let's pull up Colorado, right? Okay, if I'm looking at this from a third grader's perspective, where would I want, like if I wanted to sell a property, where would I look? I'd probably look where there's demand for property. Where would I find demand for property? Properties that have sold. How much money do I want to make on a deal? Ideally 15 to 20K minimum. Okay, if I need to make 15 to 20K minimum, can I buy 15K properties? Probably not, because no one's going to give it to me for free, right? Okay, so if I need to make that amount of money, then I probably need to go after a little bit higher price point land. Okay, what would that price point be? Typically it's $30,000 to $150,000. So I'll find that. Obviously, I'm searching for land. Look at all the areas. Okay, if I'm pulling up Colorado, if I see that there's big clusters of sales within very small, like pinpointed areas, okay, it's safe to say if I go to those areas and bring inventory to the market, it'll probably sell. If I pull up areas, if I buy land in areas that have no sales or little to no sales, safe to say it might take a lot longer to sell. So I simply just go on. I'm looking at those clusters. I'm looking at sell-through rate. Right. So if there's been 50 lots that have sold in the past 12 months and there's 200 up for sale, again, safe to say it's probably not going to sell unless I list it for a significant discount, because there's about 4 years of inventory on the market. So safe to say I probably wouldn't buy land in that area. But on the flip side, if there's 50 that have sold in the past 12 months and there's 5 up for sale, then I probably will be able to sell that at a reasonable price relatively quickly. Okay, so I'm looking for those areas and I'll just search for those all day long, right? Once I find all those areas, I'll pull the data for all those areas. I'm going to send a mail.
That's pretty smart looking at that backwards too and seeing, okay, where's the demand versus most people just like, I don't know, people pick their areas where they target all the time and then they get stuck with properties they're sitting on like and no one wants it.
Yeah. And for me, like, since I'm new, I can't afford that because like I'm taking everything down. I'm raising private money and I don't feel comfortable just like sitting on properties for 6 to 12 months. I know that's kind of the standard again in the land business is sitting on properties for a long time before they sell. But for me, I just want to be in and out, make my spread, move on. So yeah, that's kind of how I do it. And then yeah, once I get leads, again, I'm the one picking up the phone. I get like a 0.3 response rate from my mail. So I don't have tons of calls coming in. It's really just a couple of calls each day, if that, to be quite honest. And so it's manageable. I don't need to outsource that to a VA. I don't need to remove myself from the business. Like it's not even a business at this point, to be honest. It's just a hustle that's making me money. It'll eventually get to be a business. But right now it's just, again, variables and conversion, right? If I bring someone else into that seat, it's likely that their conversion rate is going to be much less. And for me, like, I just, quite frankly, I just want to make money. Like, right. I don't care about turning this thing into like a crazy like bit. Like right now at this phase of the business, like it's just about making money, cashing checks and that's it. And so like, I don't need to make it sexy. I just need to do the work, make the calls, convert the deals, build up a good like track record, make some money. And then once it gets to the point where I'm like, all right, this truly is a thing that I know what I need to do. It's I'm at my capacity. It's at its capacity. Then I'll start bringing on some team members to help. So that could be a limiting belief and it probably is.
But you're right though, because once you, if you replace yourself, say on the acquisition side, you can expect someone to do 70% as good as you if you get somebody really good. So like yeah. At your stage you're right now too, might not be able to afford that. I'm not saying you can't afford it financially like to pay somebody, but then also you got to look at too, now that just absorbs all your time because you need to train them for like 2-3 months and then hope they stick around. It's like, okay, I'm going to put 2-3 months with them plus lose 30% of our gross. It's like, is it worth it? It just, you know what I mean? Or you just keep grinding and you just make cash.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, again, it will make sense at some point. I'm not going to fool myself and think I've got this crazy business right now. It's truly just a hustle. And
did you ever do the energy audit? Did you ever hear that?
No. What is that? Oh, is that like the delegate and elevate thing?
You put on a piece of paper, two things. You have two columns. One column gives you energy. One column takes away energy. So it's like, okay, you like building things, creating things, but then managing it. You don't like doing the same as me. You put everything into two columns. And then when you're ready to hire someone, you go through all the stuff that takes your energy and give that stuff away first. Because then it buys more time back for the stuff you really like doing.
That's why I'm going to be bringing on an assistant here soon, just because like, yeah. So with that, like talking to agents, once I get the properties, talking with title companies, like stuff like that, I would love to get off the plate. Yeah. But even with that, I was just about to hire one the other day. And then I just thought about it. I'm like, man, it doesn't take that much time, so, but I'm getting myself sucked back out of it. So I know I need to do it because I'm definitely limiting myself on that side.
Do you ever read the book, Buy Back Your Time? Medley likes that book a lot.
Yeah. I think, again, that's one of those things where like, it's good, but I didn't have fertile soil for those seeds to be planted.
Right.
Right. Because like at the time I'm like, man, I ain't trying to buy back. I'm just trying to get the money to buy back time. So.
And now you're part of the point because the whole premise of the reason I brought it up is it's like, okay, say you make $100 an hour. Say you take your annual income, you divide it by 52 and then divide it by 40. That gives you your hourly rate. Say it's $100 for an even number. It's like then, okay, you know this stuff that sucks. You can pay somebody $50 an hour to do all that stuff. And it's going to buy you more time to do the $100 an hour stuff, which is now going to turn make you into a $150 an hour person.
Yeah.
You know, so that, sure. That's probably where you're at right now. It's like yeah, time to like start doing that.
Yeah, it's definitely time. I keep on fooling myself and going in and out. I just hate overhead. Like, quite frankly, yeah. Like I just hate it. Like, for me, I love running super lean. And again, it's going to change as the business evolves. But like, I started with not a lot. And so like, you know, it's been cool to build pretty quickly with like very minimal to like little to no overhead aside from marketing and some tech costs. But yeah, it's just like that part of me, I need to outgrow it because it's going to hold me back if I hold on to it.
Maybe you do, maybe you don't though, because that's the whole cool thing about a business. It's like you can build it however you want. So it's like, okay, yeah. I want to be profit heavy. So you just run bootstrap. It's like, okay, we'll get people if it makes sense, but our main focus is profit. everyone's got their own main focus. Like, some people want to have like a ginormous business. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a cool thing, making your own thing, is you get to do whatever you want.
Yeah. And with that, like, there's different ways to cut it too, because for me, like, the vision is to have it twofold, right? Like, the, like most people, when you look at houses, like, they've got their wholesaling and fix and flip for the active income, and then they fuel. Then they've got like some bigger deals and passive in, whatever. For me, the idea is to get to like 10 cash flips a month, like cookie cutter, 10 cash flips a month. Right now I'm buying, not typically selling, but buying 3 to 6 deals a month. So I want to get to 10 on that side. And then I want to get to 1 to 4 entitlement deals a year, because just like 10X is easier than 2X. I'm not sure if you've read that book, but same concept. Instead of just like doing a million deals, I could just have, you know, the 10 that gives me great active income, but then 1 to 4 of these entitlement deals that could make, you know, $500,000 a piece. Instead of doing, you know, 200 more cash flips, I could just do a couple of those each year. So having that balance, because with having an additional, you know, however many cash flips equivalent to those entitlement deals, with that, there's going to be significantly increased overhead, staff that needs to manage those variables, and other things that are associated with that, like the cognitive burden of just managing that many transactions. Whereas you could just keep 10 flips a month, like cookie cutter flips. That's super manageable. I could probably do that by myself, quite frankly.
Right.
Not saying I want to, but I could. But if you manage that plus a couple entitlement deals, like, man, you could
run rolling.
Super heavy business with little overhead, little team. That's my jam. Low overhead, little, small team, high profit. So
I like it. Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, because the entitlement's just going to be the whales, and the other stuff's paying for your marketing, keeping the doors open, and making some profit to live on. Every once in a while, you get a 6-digit hit on the other stuff. You only need a couple of them a year.
Exactly. That's right. That's right.
Anyone thinking about getting into land, what would you tell them? Because I know a lot of people got headspace. So I got to know this. I got to know this. Like, what's your tip? The one tip, if someone's thinking about doing something, what would you tell them?
I would say I've been the guy that thinks for an extended period of time, but doesn't really do anything. I'll just like sit on it, just like this assistant thing, right? Like, I've been sitting on this assistant thought for like 3 or 4 weeks. So I would say speed to implementation is everything with, I think, just business in general, right? You want to do it tactfully and make sure you're not doing something that is going to put you in a bad position. But I would just say, like, if you're getting started, just do it. Like, quite frankly, like, you're not going to go wrong. You get to like pull a random list, right? Just get people calling your phone to sell you land. Just start having conversations and figure it out, right? Connect with other people that do land. There's plenty of people that do it. Feel free to reach out to me. I'm more than happy to help you. I don't need to JV on your deal or anything. I'll just give you some tips. But yeah, just talk to people, right? If you understand what the property's worth, which is pretty simple, get it for half of what it's worth, and it's hard to lose money, right? So I would just say get out of your head. It's really, the result doesn't give a shit about anything, right? It doesn't care if you're black, purple, orange. Like, it doesn't care. The inputs get the outputs. And if you do enough of the inputs, it's only a matter of time before you get the output. So if you can front load that work and just get started, like, there's a lot of people that like, man, I think I'll just start by sending out like 300 mailers a month. I'm like, well, you're going to be waiting a long time to get that deal. It's going to be a slow bleed, right? When I got started, I just started sending out like 6 to 8,000 a month just from the get-go. Because if I know from most people's terms that it takes about 3,055 mailers for me to get a deal. So if you're sending out 300 mailers a month, it's going to take you 10 months or however many months. I'm not great at math. Right.
But if you can even handle that mentally of failing every month, unless you get real lucky, you know?
Take the action, do the thing, set aside a budget for it. Like, for me, I like to manage risk while being aggressive. And so what I did was I just set aside 6 months of living expenses, right? I'm like, all right, here's my living egg, nest egg. Here's my non-existent business nest egg, right? So I set aside 6 months to do that. I'm like, all right, if I lose my job and I don't do any business for 6 months, I'll be able to continue to send out marketing. I'll continuously be able to live. So I'm just going to do this and see how it works. So that was a long answer to your short question, but hopefully that's helpful.
That's good info. Yeah, and we're almost out of time, but I do want to talk about, change the subject a little bit. So you have an impossible list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Explain to me the impossible list here. I'm going to bring it up here too while we're talking.
Man, I did that like, I think like 2019 or around 2019. So it's been a while.
Is it up to date or is it not up to date?
It's pretty up to date. I got to cross off the Ultraman, but yeah, it was just like I got inspired by a gentleman by the name of Joel Runyon, who runs Impossible Co., which is just like a crazy adventure brand. I think they do like supplements and things like that too. But I saw this thing that he did because he did an interview about his impossible list. And so I looked at him, man, this is extremely inspiring, right? He broke down all of his like big goals based on categories of like service, business, adventure, travel, like all these things. And it just got me super energized. I'm like, man, I'm going to create my own. So at first I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And like, no, I want to like build it like he did, right? With my own like little web page so I can like track it and have it public facing and stuff like that. Just because like, I don't know, if he inspired me to do it, maybe I could inspire someone else to do it. And so, yeah, so at a high level, like the impossible list is like a bucket list, but broken down into more
like categories, right?
Yeah, categories and just ever evolving goals, right? So if the goals, all right, do a 5K, right? You do a 5K, all right, what's the next goal? To do a 10K, right? Then you go to, you know, a half Ironman, then you do a full Ironman, then you do an Ultraman. And then you have just all your different goals. And so anytime like I'm like, man, I feel like I need something, right? Just like I did the Ultraman. It's like, all right, just go back to the list. And it's just a good exercise to expand your brain of like, what do I want to do in this life? Instead of just like staying laser focused on the business, you have all these different things. Like I would love to eventually do it with, you know, my kids when I have kids and things like that. We've got like a family list. And I don't know, I think it's cool because it's always, I like driving, always having something to drive for. And it's just cool to be able to cross things off the list and just look back over a lifetime and be like, man, I did pretty cool things that were very intentional too. So,
and it is intentional too. So if you don't mind, like I'm going to read off a couple of these because I saw this. I'm like, this is pretty sweet. So I'm looking here. You got it broken into, we got service goals, health and fitness, personal goals, business vision, adrenaline goals, events, retreats to join, travel goals, right? Cool challenges, fun goals. That's just what you broke it into. But then even like it's pretty cool because I even see under the service goal, it's like start a nonprofit benefiting and it's to be determined. So the goal is just start a nonprofit. You're probably not ready yet or you got to wait for the idea to like pop up to do it or sponsor a child in need. And then your health has like fast for 5 days. I see it's checked out, but fast for 7 days is not underneath it. So it's like, you're right. Really actionable things there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a cool thing, right? It's nothing too serious. It's just a good exercise that like I would encourage anyone to do. Like just write it all down, right? You can look at mine for inspiration or Joel's, but yeah, it's just super fun. Do it with you, your girlfriend, your wife, or your kids, family, whatever. And then just start like tackling it, right? Tackle one a quarter or even one a year. And if you look back after 50 years, you're gonna have a ton of just badass adventures and cool things that you've done that you can look back and like, yeah, I did those very intentionally because it's easy for life to get away when you're hustling and doing the things. And so if you don't set aside like intentional time to chase other types of goals, then time will just pass and yeah, and you'll be old.
Right. So, yeah, no time's better than the present.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's on your website, jessebeebe.com/impossible-list. It'll be in the show notes too. All right, cool. So last thing I want to talk about here, because we got a roll, Collective Genius. So you belong to Collective Genius also. Tell everybody, like, what are your thoughts there and how it helps people?
Yeah, so I work with Collective Genius, not as a member, but just on the staff. And I mean, I would say that's been the biggest biggest reason why I've had success in a short period of time is just because when you look at it, we have 350 members within all three of our tiers. And when you can go into a room and you look at, you know, within our middle tier group, CG Select, for example, got 175 members within that group, all doing between 30 to 100 deals a year, right? And when you look at everyone in the room that wants to help, they're doing the things, it just becomes the standard, right? It just becomes like normal, right? You see all these guys doing 700 deals a year, like there's no reason why you can't. It's just a matter of right inputs, processing the inputs to get the outputs. Well, what does their framework look like, right? Why am I getting a 5X on direct mail while that guy is getting an 11X, right? What does his process look like that differs from mine? And so, I don't know, for me, I like Alex Hormozi's thing about just paying down ignorance debt, right? Paying down ignorance taxes or debt or whatever it is. And if you can just leverage other people's ignorance debt that they've paid down, right, by solving the problem that you're looking to solve, then it just shortens the gap, right? And it increases the velocity of you getting to your desired end state. And so that's the way I look at it, right? Instead of me trying to figure it out on my own, just identify the two or three people that have already done it, set aside reoccurring meetings with those folks, share with each other, see how you can benefit each other. And it's just a matter of time before, you know, you compress your goals and get to them much, much quicker with less effort and less money. So again, I'm a leverage guy. And I think a community is just the ultimate form of leverage because you have content, right, with all the awesome calls and events that we do, but then you also have the relationships to back it up. So not to go too deep into it, but like the entitlement deal that I'm doing right now, if I would have looked at that a year ago, I would have passed, right? Because this guy, all right, he wants 650K for this 14-acre piece of land. Like, pass, right? I don't have, like, that's not a deal for me, right? But after a gentleman within our group, Council Glenn, right, he did a presentation on entitlement deals, right? How to identify it, how to get the engineers and all put all the pieces together and do these type of crazy deals. And from that presentation, it looked exactly like the deal that I had. And so right when I saw it, right, it came through, I'm like, whoa, that's an entitlement deal, right? So like uncovering like new, if I wouldn't have known that, that's ignorance. Like that'd be, right. be paying the ignorance tax, right? Of just not being able to get that deal. And so, yeah, I think communities, whether it's CG, obviously I vouch for CG, but communities in general, right? Just the ultimate form of leverage because you got great content and you've got great human beings, which I think is the biggest thing on the back end to really support you along the way. It's like not about just competing with everyone in the room. Like you just have good human beings and good operators that aren't focused on guru stuff and just want to support each other and hit goals. So I think it's the best place to be.
And you're right too, because I like being in rooms like that. Like I'm in CG also and I can vouch for it. But it's always cool. I like being in rooms where people are smarter than me, doing better than me. Because if you're the smartest guy in a room, you're in the wrong room because I mean, you can help pull some other people up with you. But I always want to be a stupid guy because like you're saying, someone's talking about a presentation. It's like, geez, that's something I could be doing. And exactly. You just didn't put the pieces together. But now, you know, they already did. And then you can chat.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's great is like everyone has their unique skill set, right? Like you may be amazing at digital marketing, but you may lack on operations, right? Or some sort of the TC process or whatever it is, property management, right? But there's someone else that sucks at sales and is great at property management, right? And so just like coming together and really sharing with each other, that's, I don't know, I think that's the ultimate form of leverage, not only for the business, but just personally. Like at my Ultraman this past weekend, so on day three for the run, I was able to have a pacer. And for the full 3 days, like you had a crew. And one of my crew members was Chandler Sain, who's another CG guy. And then at the finish line, I had three other CG guys that literally flew in out of state just to come cheer me on at the finish line. So like, it's not about just business. It's about having awesome human beings to do life with as well. So I think it's awesome.
That's good stuff. Okay. So number one, how can people connect with you first and then also with CG? Or is it the same? Just connect with you or?
Yeah. Connect with me or CG. You can go to collectivegenius.com and fill out an application, or you could just simply, if you want to talk land or really anything, honestly, you can just email me. Or honestly, I'd probably just find me on Instagram because email's tough. Jesse_Bibby, JESSE_BIBBEE. Hit me with a message on there. Be more than happy to talk land. Be more than happy to talk CG or really anything. Not looking to sell you anything or partner on anything. And just if I can give you some value, more than happy to do so because I know there's been plenty of people that have done so for me.
Yeah, cool, man. Hey, well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, everyone, thanks for listening. Until next time, get out there, crush it, close some deals. We'll see you guys.